Good morning. Okay, we left off in Hebrews chapter 11. Chapter 12 right there. I may need you guys' help a little bit because I'm struggling. In fact, I was telling Brother Neil I might have to give Sunday school up, really. Let somebody else work on it for a while. I'm going to try to finish Hebrews, but I am really struggling. I don't know whether it's the meds I'm on or just it's got me whacked out. Anyway, we left off in verse 24. And, of course, we saw the faith of all these others that were mentioned. I had up here, but in verse 24 he talks about the faith of Moses, and he spends a little bit of time on Moses, I think, you know, more so than the others. And you know, I can kind of see why, don't you? I mean, these Hebrews are caught up in the ceremonial law, the law of Moses and all that, so why wouldn't we put a little bit more emphasis on Moses, and that everything Moses did, he did it by faith, didn't he? So it says in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter. And then verse 25, choosing rather to suffer the affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasure of sin for a season. And we can probably read the next verse along with that. I think that, you know, he's talking about Moses still, and 27 really. Esteeming the reproach of Christ, that is Moses, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. Now, I bet you they had a lot of treasures in Egypt, huh? For he had recompense unto the, I'm sorry, he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. And that reward wasn't the treasures of Egypt. And so, and then in verse 27, by faith, see, it's still, all this is by faith, right? By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. There's a lot of things he did here. You know, he, and I was going to mention this, but he refused. He chose rather. He suffered affliction, etc. All this by faith, right? And then we see he esteemed, you know, and all that. He had respect, you know. All that's by faith, though, isn't it? And then he forsook Egypt by faith. He didn't fear the wrath of the king, but he didn't fear it by faith, you know. Because I remember one time when he first took off, he took off out into the wilderness. Remember that? But then when the Lord told him to go back, and I'm getting way ahead of myself, but he told him to go back, he said, I'll be with you. So he had that promise, didn't he? He had the promise that the Lord, hey, when you go back and face Pharaoh, I'm going to be with you. Hey, you can rest in that, huh? So that's what his faith rested in. And so he did. He went back and faced Pharaoh by faith, because the Lord's going to be with him. So he forsook Egypt, not being the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible, that is the Lord, I think. And then, that was verse 27, right? And then verse 28, through faith, again, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them, too. Yeah. We got a lot to talk about just in these few verses right here. Anyway, and then eventually in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. But let's talk about those verses, and then we'll go on, okay? So we see here, when he came to years, I would think that's probably, what do you think, Brother Keith? I need you guys' help to.
Well, when he came to years, later on in his life, he's an older man now. God has revealed to him a lot of things. He's a lot wiser now.
Remember he slew that Egyptian that was there.
He did
all that, yeah. So, you know, the first 40 years, this hadn't taken place. And what we saw in the previous verses was the faith of his parents and the faith of the midwives, I think. But now we're looking at the faith of Moses when he does say when he came to years, you know. So it was, like you said, when and Brother Charlie said about 40 years old. That's right, because I think, wasn't he 80 when he let him out, if I remember right? I can't remember.
His wife would have been groups of 340. 340,
son, yeah. That's interesting, too. So, anyway, I had down here in conversion, there's a turning away from and a turning unto. And that's what he did, huh? He refused. In other words, he turned away from being Pharaoh's daughter. I mean, come on, that's pretty high. I mean, it just wasn't an Egyptian here, right?
Well, this world, this was what to turn away from when you converted.
Yeah. I mean, right.
Got a lot of riches right here.
Yeah.
Really, just talk about one of them.
Yeah.
He had everything he wanted.
And I would think Pharaoh's daughter, I mean, the son of Pharaoh's daughter would be a little bit further up than just being an Egyptian, huh?
He had the best schools, the best food, the best everything you could ask for.
Yeah.
High-bred camels, he's got the good-looking girls. He's a notch above everybody else.
Yeah,
he's wearing good clothes.
Yeah, he's in good shape, right? So he's got a lot to leave, you know.
And probably potential to take the throne.
Right.
And
potential what?
To take the throne.
Oh, yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah, that's true, huh?
And then once he took the throne, he would have even more.
That's a lot to give up, huh?
Yeah.
But he did it by faith, huh? It wasn't, you know.
Isn't that what a believer does?
That's right, yeah. I think so. And we'll see another one of those words later on. Maybe that's the next chapter, I don't know. I might be getting confused. So anyway, first he refused, right? So we saw here in that verse, he, by faith, when he came to use, he refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, right? And then in the next verse, choosing rather to suffer affliction. So he refused to be called, it was a turning away from and a turning to, wasn't it? So he turned away from being called the son of Pharaoh's daughter to turn to suffering affliction with the people of God. So I thought that was pretty interesting, right? And it wasn't just, and notice it says the people of God. Isn't that what it says in the verse?
Yeah.
Choosing rather to suffer affliction with, not the Hebrews, although according to the flesh he's a Hebrew. You know, you might say, well, yeah, he took their side because he's, you know, he's a Hebrew like them. He, you know, just family members, right? According to blood, but it's not. He said, choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God.
Amen.
And that's what the Christian does. He wants to be, not with family members, because family members might, hey, they can divorce you, if you know what I mean. Raul was telling me about, do you know these two that were baptized in Romania? I don't know if you saw this picture. Well, they get a stag from family members. You know, so they're choosing to suffer affliction with the people of God, and rather than to enjoy family members, you know what I'm trying to say. So, and I think that's one of the points here, okay? The people of God, rather than enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season, I think. Is that what this verse says? Yeah. Than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Now, think about that. Does that mean all the riches that he was enjoying was sin? You know, I don't know. In a way, it is.
He had everything in the world.
He had everything in the world. But doesn't the Bible say that which is not of faith is sin? So if the Lord had given him faith to be with the people of God, for him to stay in Egypt would have been sin, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? Because it wouldn't have been of faith. So that which is not of faith is sin. That's what the Bible says, you know. So that, and even though, you know, enjoying the pleasures of Pharaoh's court or whatever, being that the Lord had called him to do this, and if he didn't act on it, or you see what I'm saying, if he didn't choose to suffer the affliction of, with the people of God, then it would have been sin for him to...
It's kind of like Mordecai told Esther. Look, you're the queen now, and you may think you're above everything and you're protected up there, but believe me, God can get you too if you don't do something to help the people.
Yeah.
So even that Moses, if he didn't follow by faith to help the people of God, God can get you too.
Yeah, yeah. So anyway, he chose that, right? And I think that's Romans 14:23, that which for whatsoever is not of faith is sin, and that makes sense, you know, it's of the flesh, isn't it? If it's not of faith, it's of the flesh, so it's of sin. And then in verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ. I like that. The fact, it wasn't just esteeming the approach of Jehovah, but he says of Christ. I mean, the apostle here is saying that he looked toward Christ.
He heard the gospel,
right? And didn't Jesus say, beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he said unto them the things concerning himself, and Moses said that another would be like, come that would be like him. I can't remember what that, right? It was in Exodus, if I remember right. So he says here, esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And boy, I bet there was a lot of treasures there, huh? So, and we already talked about this, son of Pharaoh's daughter. Now, you talk about some honors. That was honors, you know. So, first, he didn't, what am I trying to say? He didn't, I don't know if contempt's the right word, but he just didn't put much stock into the honor of being called Pharaoh's daughter, nor the pleasures of all the riches of Egypt. Because look here, he says, esteeming the reproach of Christ? I mean, that's not good stuff, is it? The reproach of Christ? He said, that's greater riches than the treasures of Egypt? Well, that's some good stuff there in Egypt, I would think. You know? All the stuff that went along with being Pharaoh's daughter? Wow. And the pleasures that went along with it? And the wealth? And he esteemed it. He esteemed the reproach of Christ greater riches. That word esteem, I looked it up, and it wasn't just some fancy thing. It comes from a word, in fact it was rendered judged in verse 11, showing that he judged the reproaches of Christ. In other words, he weighed it out. He judged it. The reproaches of Christ is greater riches than all this stuff in Egypt. And isn't that what you as a Christian, don't we do the same thing? In other words, hey, we got it made in this country pretty good, you know, right now. And, I mean, you can go to the ice pod, get water and ice cubes and all that. You think they could do that 100 years ago? Not really. So, we got it made pretty good. But, you know, all of that is nothing compared to the riches that are, you know, in Christ Jesus. And so, I think, and we judge that, don't we?
Right.
Like Brian was just talking about. What is it? Profit a man if he gains the whole world, loses his own soul? You know, so don't we judge that? The world don't judge it that way. But we as Christians judge it that way, don't we? And so Moses, he judged it, or esteemed it, or judged, you know, that the reproaches of Christ was greater riches. And yet the Christ would be born for, what, centuries later? And so I think he looked forward to Christ. And it says here, for he had respect unto the recompense of the reward. So the reward. And so I'm thinking he's talking about eventually communion with Christ in heaven. You know, eternal glory. The, you know, city that's made by God, right? That the apostle spoke of previously in our chapters, right? So he had respect unto the recompense of reward. And then he says, by faith, he forsook Egypt. So he refused, he chose, he esteemed, and now he forsook, right? And then he feared not the wrath of the king. And his brother, what's your name?
Bill.
See my brain? That's pretty bad. As Bill just pointed out, you know, don't fear men, right? But fear God. So he didn't fear the wrath of the king at all. And remember, I have it somewhere here. I'm sorry, I'm struggling a little bit. But anyway, so he refused, he chose, he esteemed, now he forsook, and he feared not the wrath of the king. And how did he do all of that? By his own ability, his own strength, or by faith? It's by faith. By faith, he forsook Egypt. By faith, not fearing the wrath of the king. And what did his faith look to for not fearing the wrath of the king, as I've already pointed out? Because God told him go back and face Pharaoh. I'm a hard salt, but I'm going to be with you. He said, so his faith looked into that word of God, the promise of God. And shouldn't our faith always look to what God has told us? Our faith don't look to something we imagine, does it? Well, I think I'll just believe this today, and there's no promise in God's word about it. Well, that's not biblical faith, is it? Biblical faith rests in what God has promised in his word. You know, and so, you know, he told him verbally, I'm going to be with you. I mean, he didn't have a written word then. We have his written word, right? But Moses had his voice, and he said, I'll be with you. And I think that's, and I got that verse written down somewhere. But anyway, I could say more there, but this is gone. You guys raise your hands if you got anything to say. Oh, you got something to say? Good.
We have the lens to see what Moses is about to go through.
Speak up.
I am.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Get that boy a microphone.
We have the lens to see what he's about to go through with his faith. All Moses had was the historical facts of what people that stood up against Pharaoh went through, which was execution. So he really was stepping out on faith. What
did he say exactly?
He said he was stepping out on faith.
He was jumping out on faith, okay. Essentially.
He was stepping out on faith because of the things that were before him that had happened, like Pharaoh.
Oh, I see what you're saying. In other words, he probably put some people to death before, huh? Is that what you're trying to say?
We have 20/20 hindsight. We have 20/20 hindsight of what Moses was going to accomplish. He didn't have that. He didn't know what was going to happen.
Oh, I see.
We know what has happened.
Yeah. Yeah, I see.
His was totally by faith.
Oh, yeah.
You can see what he did by faith.
I can imagine his mind was going through all kinds of things with Pharaoh was going to do to him.
And why he shouldn't. He was saying, well, maybe I shouldn't because, or this could hurt my family. You know, things like that.
He
all his men think.
Yeah.
And he went on and did it because of
this
faith.
Yeah, I'm sure you could run over all kind of possibilities of what might happen going back and facing Pharaoh, huh? I mean, just think about it. But you, like you're saying, in other words, it was an act of faith. Because the Lord said, go do it, I'll be with you. Okay, that's all we need to know, right? Kind of like Abraham. Go after your son. Even though he knew, you know, he was a promised seed, so he knew that, hey, God would raise him from the dead if that. Anyway, so it was definitely an act of faith. Okay. So, kind of my next point here was the test of Moses' faith, which is kind of what y'all have already brought up. So he was bidden to enter the presence of Pharaoh and say, thus saith the Lord God of Israel, let my people go, that they may hold a feast unto me in the wilderness. Yeah, right. Pharaoh's going to go along with that, huh? So, that was quite a test of his faith, as y'all have just pointed out. And just think, when he went into Pharaoh's presence, who did he have with him? He had Aaron at that time? That's about it, though, huh?
Aaron and Steph.
He didn't have an army, did he? And Pharaoh had chariots and armies and servants that could have grabbed him and hauled him off and killed him right then, right? So just think about what he's facing here. He had no army behind him. So, and then what was Pharaoh's response when he told him that? Well, who is the Lord that I should obey his voice to let the Israel go? Oh, God, I'm toast now, buddy. Yeah. So anyway, I know not the Lord, neither will I let Israel go. So, you know, you would think right off the bat that Pharaoh's fixing to chop his head off, you know. But he didn't. The Lord was with him and worked it all out, right? And Pharaoh did let him go at the end. So anyway, and then, because Pharaoh said that, well, the Lord bid him to go and approach him again. So he told him, go back and approach me. Are you crazy? You know? He's already said he ain't going to let him go, you know. But anyway, and that's in Exodus 7:16. You've read that whole story. I mean, we've gone through it before, and it's a good story to read about, isn't it?
And the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, but he never hardened it hard enough that he goes to kill Moses. He
just
hardened him and hardened and hardened so that he destroys himself.
Yeah. He hardened him just enough so that all these plagues could come against him and all this work out just like it was supposed to, even down to the Passover lamb, right? Because that had to happen too. So Pharaoh had to make this, you know, decree that the firstborn, male firstborn, was all be killed, you know. And so all that had to happen just like that. And if God wouldn't have hardened his heart, it wouldn't have worked out like that, really. So, man, he's got to write down every jot and tittle under control, doesn't he? So anyway, he was bidden to approach him again. And that we see that yet he feared not the wrath of the king, did he? As Alvarez just said. So there's a lot that could be said about all this. And then after the 10th plague, Pharaoh proposed a compromise which Moses even refused then. And then he said, okay, y'all go on out there. Don't go too far. Isn't that just like, you know, the world, you know, when a person's saved, you know, okay, get a little religion, but don't go too far away. Don't go too far away from the world, right? And so Pharaoh says, well, yeah, you can go on out there, but leave your, what did he say, leave your animals and all that here? And Moses said, nope. We all go, all of us, every last one of them, right?
Yeah.
And you can read that in Exodus chapter 10. And I think in verse 28 is where Moses said that, not so. And anyway, so he didn't fear him. And the word fear there means to be timid or shy or something like that. And I must admit, I fear a lot sometimes because of circumstances, which is sin, you know. And so we're not to fear circumstances or not to fear men. Men, that, you know, I mean, think of the circumstances that could have come up here. But Moses didn't fear the wrath of the king. But we are to fear God, aren't we? We just read the scriptures this morning, you know. Don't fear what men can do to you, because the only thing they can do is kill the body. But they can't kill the soul. But God is able to destroy both soul and body in hell fire. And so that's who we're to fear. And his faith, the reason he did not fear the wrath of the king is because in Exodus chapter 3, verse 12, I already mentioned it more than one time, where the Lord says, certainly I will be with thee. He told him to go do this. Go do it. And he says, certainly I will be with thee. Well, that's something that Moses could rely on, huh? His faith could look to that. I mean, this is the God that created the world. I mean, he's working all this out just perfectly. So if God's with him, what's there to fear, right? Anyway, so and so Moses, he did this. He didn't waver in his faith. And anyway, so he forsook Egypt and all that. So all this happened. And you know, I think it, in Romans chapter 15, verse 4, it says that the things that happened to them happened as an example for us, or something like that, for our learning. So, you know, when we read of all these things in the Old Testament, you know, I think we can pick out this spiritual significance of these things, right, and learn from them. You know, I don't think you can put more into things than that. Sometimes we try to make it mean more than it really means, but you can see the lessons in all this, right? So anyway, he feared not, and it was the wrath of the king. You know, just wasn't anybody's wrath; it was the wrath of the king. You know, and this was—I would think that Egypt was probably the most powerful nation in the world at that time. I remember when going through Daniel, there was like all these kingdoms. Remember, Egypt was one of those kingdoms, if I remember right. And so he didn't. Anyway, it seemed, it says here, seeing him who is invisible. I would think that's the Lord himself, right? Now he saw him, right? As seeing him. So he saw it through the eyes of faith. So again, it's faith again. And then in verse 28, if anybody has any thoughts on these first verses here, before we go on to verse 28? But it says in 28, through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood. Now listen to this. Lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. Well, wait a second here. What, you know, this is God's chosen people. Why did they need to sprinkle blood and have a Passover? Why weren't they busy packing up to get out of there? Why were they why was God getting them to do all this Passover stuff and the sprinkling of blood stuff when they were the chosen and these Egyptians weren't the chosen? Wouldn't election protect them? You see what I'm getting at?
To prove their faith.
Huh?
To show their faith and to show their faith to the Egyptians and to scare the Egyptians also. To show how powerful the God that they worship was. That just by obeying his declaration to put the blood on the doorpost, that he would protect his chosen one.
I like that. But you know, he also said, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you, right? Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission.
Right.
So, I guess my point is that the Hebrews needed blood, redemption, because they're sinners just like those Egyptians are. And the only thing that kept that death angel from not hitting them was that blood that was on the doorpost. And the only thing that keeps us out of hell is not election, although that has something to do with it, but it's Jesus Christ. Is my point. In other words, Jesus Christ died for my sins, right? He shed his blood for my sins. Not, you understand what I'm trying to say? In other words, Brother Keith, you're looking at me like, yeah.
That blood was a foreshadowing of Christ's blood.
Are you thinking or something? I don't know.
No, well, I mean, that blood was put there to prove they wasn't going to be overlooked just because they are Hebrews.
Right. That's exactly right. Yeah, he's not passing over. Oh, that's a Hebrew there. I'm passing over that one.
No.
It's when I saw the blood he passed over. And if they wouldn't have put that blood there, he wouldn't have passed over. You know, if Christ wouldn't have died for our sins, we'd be in doom. I don't care, election or not election. You know?
That's the difference between a Hebrew and an Egyptian.
Yeah.
The blood.
It was for them, though. It was for them. And we were elected unto salvation, and Christ paid for the sins of his elect. I understand all that. We're going to get to that in the next chapter for sure. But I guess my point is, Christ is the one that died for our sins, right? And I'm trying to say more than I'm...
Other than that, by faith, they put the blood on the doorpost because God says, if you do not apply the blood, I will not pass over you.
Yeah.
So, taking God at his word, by faith in what God has said, we will put the blood on the doorpost.
Yeah. Yeah, and he does say by faith he kept the Passover. So this, he's doing this by faith, isn't he?
Because God is going to pass through tonight. The death angel's coming tonight. And if there is no blood, all that have no blood will lose a firstborn.
Yeah, amen. So Hebrew or not Hebrew, right? And so there you go. Anyway, so that was my point in that, all that. And so anyway, and you know, I've already mentioned that the Jews had a lot of faith in Moses and the law and all that, you know, and he's showing here that even that Passover, he kept that by faith, you know, and I think the Passover is probably one of the greatest of all feast days of Egypt. I mean, Egypt, not of Egypt.
And it's also a commanded feast. They were commanded, once they crossed it, not to never remember it. On a certain day of a certain month at a certain time,
yeah,
they were to have the Passover forever.
Forever. That's true. And so what is some things about that Passover? Okay. I got some points down here that I think point to Christ. It was a lamb that was to be taken in Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. I'll just go over this real quick. Christ is called the Lamb of God, right? And it was taken from the flock of the sheep. So Christ took on himself the nature of his people, right? The lamb was to be taken from the flock and shut up separate from it. So too, Christ was taken from among men, but he was separate from sinners, right? The Lamb was to be without blemish, Exodus chapter 12, verse 3. Christ is called the Lamb without blemish and without spot, 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19. So you can see the similarities right there. The Lamb was to be slain, so Christ was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world, Revelation chapter 13, verse 8. And it was a sacrifice, according to Exodus chapter 12, verse 27. Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 7. So you see how that Passover, Christ is pointing to Christ. Christ, our Passover. And so anyway, then the lamb was supposed to be roasted, according to Exodus chapter 12, verses 8 and 9, which probably signifies the fiery wrath of God that Christ was to undergo for his people. That makes sense too. And then in Exodus chapter 12, verse 46, not a bone was to be broken of that lamb. And that fulfills prophecy too, remember? I think was it John chapter 19, verse 33-36, not a bone was broken of him, you know, to fulfill prophecy. So anyway, and then they were to eat that lamb and enjoy it. And aren't we to enjoy Christ? And you can read about that in John chapter 6, verse 43. Anyway, so I head down here, and I've kind of already touched on this. The Hebrews were equally exposed to the wrath of divine vengeance. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, trusting in their descent from Abraham would not buy them a thing. As we've already just kind of pointed out. And, you know, they said, we are Abraham's children. A lot of them trusted in that, right? We're Abraham's children. All their good works would not have made any difference. They could have fasted and prayed all night, confessing their sins and pleading with God for mercy, and it would not have done a thing.
Right.
When I see the blood, I will pass over you.
Right.
Without that, and he was already pointed out, it was faith in that. So anyway. So in verse 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. Now, we're getting away from Moses now. Okay, so he's let them out there, you know. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry ground, which the Egyptians are saying to do, or drown. Now, the they here, he didn't say by faith Israel passed through the Red Sea, they passed through the Red Sea. I think maybe Pink pointed that out. The ones that by faith passed through the Red Sea were the believers, I guess is what I'm trying to say. There's some others that passed through the Red Sea, but they might not have been by faith. I don't know. But anyway, it's pointing. It says here, by faith they passed through the Red Sea. So the ones he's talking about, the they there, are the ones that had faith. And it says here they had faith to do this. So it's those of faith. And of course, you know, Moses, Aaron, Caleb, Joshua, and all the believing remnant would be in focus here, I think, among those Hebrews. And, you know, sometimes unbelievers, I head down here, unbelievers are frequently made partakers of temporal blessings as a result of association with God's people. So some of those people that passed through the Red Sea probably resulted in temporal blessings from the faith of Moses and the faith of the true believers in the Hebrews, okay? And think about this. It was a desperate situation, wasn't it? I mean, they're shut up, and I kind of think, to me, this points to salvation in Christ. I mean, think about it, right? They're going out there, and they're up against the Red Sea, right? Where are we going to go? And then, what's coming down on them? Pharaoh's army, right? So they're caught between the Red Sea. You're talking about caught between a rock and a hard place. They're caught between the Red Sea and Pharaoh's army.
Yeah.
What are they going to do? If the Lord don't deliver them, they are butchered.
Right.
You see, and so
you got to think this army is very mad because they just lost the firstborn out of everything. They got a reason to be mad.
They're mad, right? And so, and what happened? The Lord stopped them, right, and beheld them, and the Lord told Moses, "Lift up your rod." So even he didn't come up with, you know, I think I'll split the Red Sea today. You know, again. Faith did not look to something that he imagined, you know. Well, we got a situation here. I guess if I split the Red Sea, we can get out of here. No, the Lord told him to lift up his rod and divide the sea. So he had, again, his faith looked to what...
He had to lift up the rod.
Yeah, but he lifted up his rod, yeah. So his faith acted, right? His faith acted on what the Lord told him to do. You know, come to Christ, and you'll be saved. You can act on that, right? If God's given you faith to trust in Christ, come to Christ, you know. And so, isn't that the case with the sinner? He's shut up, in a sense. He's got his sins weighing down on him, you know, and there's no way out. His righteousness won't, it's not going to do it, right? So he's kind of stuck between a rock and a hard place. The sinner that's under conviction. And there's only one place to turn. Salvation's of the Lord, right? And that's what Moses said. Behold the salvation this day. And the salvation's of the Lord. And so to me, I think it was one straight line across there. I know that, I think the Bible says they were baptized unto Moses in the Red Sea, all that. But to me, it points to the one way. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And it was I bet you it was a straight line across that Red Sea, right? I don't think it was some kind of zigzaggy line or maze or anything like that they had to figure out. I think it was a straight path, and it was dry land, right? And what's interesting is that same salvation that was for the believer was the destruction for the unbeliever. And didn't Jesus say that, you know, he was going to come back with 10,000 of his saints and he was going to destroy the unbeliever?
You say that way was straight, you thought, and wide?
Well, I don't know. I bet it was probably wide enough for them. But
do you think any of them had any doubt about stepping on out there?
Had any doubt about what?
Do you think any of those people had reservations about going? Sure. I don't think not even one of them, not even a 2-year-old or a 90-year-old. I think when that way opened up,
when they saw it.
I was going to say, if you saw the Red Sea split like that, the lack of faith would go away real quick, I think.
Well, not only that.
Well, and the Egyptians had faith to walk through it, and that drowned them.
Yeah, it drowned them. That's a good point.
Yeah,
and just think, and what's the choice here? The Egyptians walked wide open. Yeah, I think I'd head on out, buddy.
When the Spirit quickens a man, He goes.
Yeah.
Right.
And there's no way up, and there's no other way but the Lord Jesus Christ. And you don't have no problem with it then, does he?
Yeah.
Then it's like rolling off a log. So, anyway, I thought that was good. So, and Moses said, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord which he will show you today. That's what he told them. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. I don't remember exactly what verse that is, but it's somewhere in Exodus. So, anyway, Moses did what God told him to do, and that's in Exodus 14:16. This was, and I already mentioned, this was not something that Moses just dreamed up and decided to have enough faith to do, but his faith looked to what God told him to do. And so, again, look to him. And it says here, as by dry land. You know, think about that. You know, not only is the Red Sea split, but, I mean, it's not even mush down there. Right? I mean, this water had been probably sitting on that from all the beginning, whatever, I don't know how many years, whatever, 6,000 years, whatever. It wasn't 6,000, but you know what I mean.
Yeah.
It wasn't just that soggy yesterday, right? But then, when the Red Sea split, the ground's dry. And firm, yeah, because can you imagine all those animals and carts or whatever they had, and they're going through there, if they'd have got bogged down in that mud? But they got a highway to the other side here, right? And so, anyway, passed by dry land. So that magnifies the work of God in making a path that was fit for women and children to pass down, I have here, a highway through the sea. He made them a highway through the sea. Think about it. Okay? And then the Egyptians, the same passage that was the Hebrew salvation became the Egyptians' destruction. And we've already mentioned that. I had down here Matthew 7:21-23. Oh, I guess my reasoning was that the same works done through faith by his elect are said to be works of iniquity when done by the non-elect.
because it's not done in faith. Think about that. We cares up. We've done wonderful works in your name. We've done all this stuff in your name. And he says, depart from me, you that work iniquity. It was all iniquity. Think about it. But if the child of God does it in faith, it's fruit. But it looks the same, if you see what I'm saying. And so they drown, right? And so I thought I had another verse on that, but I don't remember where it is. But I've already mentioned the same Christ that saved us will come with 10,000s of his saints to execute judgment upon all and to convince all of their ungodly deeds, etc. I think that was that in Revelation? Jude? Yeah, Jude. That's right, Jude. Anyway, verse 30. I thought we'd finish this chapter. I don't know if we are. By faith, the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed about 7 days. Now, some thoughts here, you know. Think about what he told them to do, too, right? You know, God's ways are entirely different than man's ways sometimes. And God is independent of all natural means and superior to the laws of nature because these walls just fell down, right? And then it also speaks of the difficulties and oppositions that are encountered in the warfare of faith. But anyway, it says here the fall of Jericho is attributed to the faith of the believing Israelites, but of course it was God's power that brought that. It wasn't the faith of, what am I trying to say? It wasn't the power of their faith that brought those walls down. It was God's power that brought it down. But
their faith caused them to do what God said to do.
Right.
The first day you'll serve him.
Right.
Without saying a word. On the second day you'll serve him. And the horn and the trumpet will go before you. And everybody will be quiet. And on the sixth day, and on the seventh day, they'll all blow the trumpet and we'll all shout. Salvation,
yeah, I think then on the seventh day they were supposed to go around seven times too. Yeah, that's what I thought. And so on that seventh day he said go around seven times and then shout, right? And boom, the walls fell down.
Just like when the man who had the leprosy dumped himself in the water, he just dumped himself one time. He wouldn't have done it by faith, but he said get yourself seven times. And so he dipped himself the full seven times and came up clean and baby.
That's true.
But the faith is, it's not the faith, well, I'll go do it one time, if it don't work, I give up. The faith is, I trust God, he said, if you do it seven times, we'll go around seven times.
Yeah.
If he says, go across the sea, we'll go across the sea.
Yeah.
Faith is, when God tells you to do something, you
do it. Yeah, and that's what they did, huh? And it wasn't a loud blast from the trumpets that brought the...
No. God brought it all down.
Yeah, he brought it all down.
Their faith was, God said, he's going to bring it down, but he told us, here's what he wants us to do.
Yeah, and so, yeah, right. So I think that's pretty good. I think I like what y'all said, okay? So we see the obedience of their faith, as you, Brother Charlie's already pointed out, the discipline of their faith, because, like you already pointed out, they didn't do it one time and said, well, it ain't working. He told them to go seven days, and then on the seventh day, do seven times. I mean, come on, this is getting a lot to do here, right? You know, so... obedience, discipline, and patience. Think about the patience here. 7 days? That's a week.
First thing, I'm hoping there's a little crack in the wall here somewhere.
Yeah, and that would kind of give him a little encouragement, right? To do another... Nothing. Nothing happened to those 7 days. So it speaks of patience and then anticipation of their faith because they anticipated that on that seventh day after seven times it was coming down, right? It wasn't like, well, maybe it'll come down. No, they anticipated. And doesn't our hope look to the second coming of Christ? We anticipate the coming of Christ.
Yeah.
It's not like we hope he's going to come. Anyway, verse 31. By faith, the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. You know? And it says here she did that by faith, right? Now, we could mention probably a lot there, but I think one that's point that I wanted to look to. You know, Jesus told the Pharisees when teaching on repentance, he says, Verily I say unto you that the publicans and the harlots go into the kingdom of God before you. And here is Rahab, who is a harlot, and in, if I remember right, she's in the line of the Messiah. You know, you can go look all that up. But so what did she hear? I mean, how, what's her faith? We just got said. We just said faith looks to promises of God, looks to God's work. What is her faith relying on? What did she hear? Faith coming by hearing him by the word of God and all that, right? What did she hear that her faith rested upon?
All the things that happened before they done.
Amen. Right. And you go read Joshua chapter 2. Joshua chapter 2. Oh, no, ma'am. No, you don't read. Let's let somebody else read, because I'm picking on you every time, right? That's okay, though?
Yeah.
Okay, read it then. Joshua chapter 2. Verse 9 and 11. 9 through 11.
And she said unto the men, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, and that your terror is fallen upon us, and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you.
But she said the Lord, huh?
Yep.
She said the Lord. She calls him the Lord.
The
okay,
Lord.
Go ahead.
For we have heard how the Lord.
The Lord.
Dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when he came out of Egypt, and what ye did to the two kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan. I think she's referring to they went in there and slaughtered them, right?
Yeah, right, yeah.
Even though they were.
Yeah, what he did though, right?
She. Zion and all whom ye utterly destroyed.
Do what?
She's just. Heard about these battles, it took place that God was leading them.
Yeah, and she's recognizing that their God is the God of heaven, because go on, doesn't it say more there?
And as soon as we had heard these things, our hearts did melt, neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. For the Lord,
the Lord,
God, he is God.
Aha.
Above and in earth beneath. Now therefore I pray unto you, swear to me by the Lord.
Yeah.
Since I showed you kindness, that you'll also show me.
Yeah. But notice she says, the Lord your God, he is the God. Okay. So she's recognizing that their God is God. And that he's doing all this, and he's going
to
knock Jericho down. There's no escape. There's no escape. In their God. Right. And so I thought that, you know, no wonder by faith the harlot Rahab was not consumed with the rest of them, right? She heard about their God. She feared God, right. She didn't fear the men of Jericho, did she? She feared God. That's who she feared. Yeah, hey, so we'll stop there, and we'll pick up. Hopefully we'll finish.